We're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." We thank God for his word to us this morning. Can you picture the scene in the verses that we read together this morning? Parents were bringing their little ones to Jesus. And Jesus was reaching out, taking them into his arms, placing his hands on them, and blessing them. Many artists have tried to capture the scene in a painting. And some have been much more successful than others. But I love that scene because I cannot think of a scene that more powerfully conveys just how approachable the Lord Jesus is. Even little children who were much maligned in the day in which Jesus lived on earth could come and scramble onto his lap and feel comfortable and welcome. And what an encouragement that is for us to come to Jesus as well. To come to him if we've not yet trusted him as our Saviour, and respond to his call, and to come to him day by day if we are trusting and following him. The initial reaction of the disciples was not anywhere near so welcoming. I imagine them thinking, as men of their time, Jesus is far too important to be bothered with little children. He has far more important things to do than to bless children. And I can picture them discouraging the parents and trying to block those little ones as they made their way to Jesus. And I just wonder, as we get older, if our reaction to children in the context of the church, of a church, is a little bit like those disciples. I don't think it is, but I hope it's not. There are those who think that too much time and effort is spent on children in our churches. And there are churches where the whole outreach program is directed to children. And that's not good. I guess here we would love to have some young families and some children meeting with us. Others today are taken aback by children and young people. They know so much, don't they? One man in his 80s in our church in Tring had a problem with his computer. And he told me it was my grandson who who went round and sorted it for him. They often have great knowledge and great confidence, and that can make us oldies feel vulnerable and even threatened. When I think of the world these youngsters are growing up in, I think the more time that we can spend with them, the better, especially if we can encourage them to shape their lives on the Word of God. And when I think of their confidence, I think of a lady called Grace Wright. She used to be the organist in Tring. She actually played when the BBC radio service was relayed from Aitken Street Baptist Church in Tring in the 1950s, I think. And Grace said to me, I mean, she's a lady who could play the organ beautifully. She could play at a service that's broadcast. And yet she'd got no confidence to pray in the prayer meeting. And Grace said to me on one occasion, if only I had the confidence that these young people have to speak when I was their age. Now, I'm not saying that children and young people should be allowed to do just what they want. I hope you know me well enough to know that's not the case. But I believe that these verses in Luke encourages us to love our children, to guide them, to encourage them, and to help them. And Mark tells us that when Jesus saw the disciples' reaction to these children, he was indignant. He was angry with them and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." And here Luke tells us that Jesus called the children to him. Parents were to be encouraged to bring their children to him. Little ones were to be encouraged to come to him. And no obstacle was to be put in their way. Janet and I have been involved in children's work ever since we came to faith in Christ. Both of us, almost as soon as we were converted, got involved in the children's work in our churches. When we came to Tring, with God's help, we started a children's club. And believe it, we're still working in it. And these words of Jesus have inspired us over the years. And our Lord's love for children should inspire us too. They should inspire us, if we are parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, or neighbours of children. I believe that our number one desire for these children in our families and those we come across day by day should be that they might come to know and love our Lord Jesus for themselves. It's just so easy, isn't it, in our materialistic world to allow the spiritual needs of our children to come behind our concerns for them to have a good education, to have a good job, and to have good prospects. Now, naturally, we want the best for our children, and there is a place for all these things. But what is our priority? Is it not that they might trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Also, our Lord's love for children should inspire us in our church and in our churches. If children appear in our service, we should welcome them. and I suggest make some allowance for them, for they may do childlike things. I remember my first visit to a Sunday school. I was 3 years of age. And I was sent to this class for 3 to 5 year olds. And I sat, I walked in, and the teacher looked at me and said, "Oh, weren't expecting you." That was a very nice welcome on my first visit to the Sunday school. I don't know what we're going to do with you. He then found a Bible, the Authorized Version with Roman numerals, gave it into my hands and said, "You better sit and look at that." I didn't go there very long. My dad was called to a pastorate, and we went there and had a very different Sunday school teacher, who, when we sang "Only a Boy Called David," allowed us to stand on the forms, and when he was, when Goliath was hit by a stone, allowed us to fall off. But you hear what I'm saying, that we do need to make children feel welcome, and first impressions are quite important. We don't have a children's work in this fellowship at the moment, but let's be mindful of those who represent churches like our own, who, for instance, during the school holidays, will be engaging in camps and beach missions. Brian Walsh has been to preach here on a number of times, and he and Angela are leading Pioneer Camp again this year. And Dave Crane, who came here to preach as one of the Tring team, he and Joe, his wife, will be on that same camp. Chris and Bev Hitchcock will be there as well. There's a whole host from Tring going to Pioneer Camp. My granddaughter is and some of the young people from Tring are going on beach mission. And so, although we may not personally be involved at this time, let's think of those who represent churches like ours, who will be sharing the gospel with children throughout the land and the world at this time. And if we have the opportunity to work among children and young people in the church in the future, let us approach that work prayerfully and take it seriously. We have been entrusted with a vital work. There are those who just turn up to teach Sunday school without serious preparation. I've never seen anybody so prepared to talk to children as my wife. She spends hours preparing to speak at the children's club. She spends hours preparing to speak at Sunday school because she wants to communicate the truth of God's word to the children she teaches. And if we're not actively involved in work among children and young people, we can still take an interest in the work. Pray regularly for the leaders and helpers as they prepare each week to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with their classes and groups. Pray for their health and their strength. And pray for our day school teachers too, especially those who follow Christ. And pray for the children and young people in our Sunday schools, that they will receive and respond to the message they hear and have a real faith in the Lord Jesus and grow as Christians and be a blessing to their peer group. And if we can help practically behind the scenes in these works, let's do so. But let's also pray for the children in our day schools who are hearing things that are often contrary to what the scriptures teach. And pray that they will have discernment. We heard Mark's testimony just a fortnight ago and how encouraging it was to hear of his response to what he heard in school And I heard a testimony about a year ago of a young man in sixth form who, listening to the whole theory of evolution, thought, there must be more to this than that. And came to see that God is our great creator. And these words of Jesus should also inspire us to care for children everywhere. Especially that they might respond to the good news of Jesus. And if we are Christians, let us remember that the Lord has given his church a commission to share his love and good news with all the world. And so let's take an interest on what goes on beyond our borders and be informed and be supportive of those who take up the challenge of that work, praying for them, encouraging them, and supporting them in every way. I don't think today that you and I are scratching around to find something to think about and pray about in the world of Christian activity. I think often the opposite is true. We are overwhelmed with prayer requests, overwhelmed with people having great need. Someone was sharing with me that one of the speakers at New Word Alive said this year that when he walked down a certain avenue at the conference, there were so many good causes, so many people asking for help, so many needs that needed to be met, that he thought about avoiding going down there. So we need to be selective and choose those aspects of God's work that we want particularly to be involved with and to pray. And it's lovely in the notice sheet this week or this month to have a reminder on the back. Please remember in your prayers Burbs and the work that he is doing in the Philippines, the work of the Wycliffe translators and so on. So let's pray, and some of these will be involved in children's work as well. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And so he encouraged people to bring their children to him. Now, of course, in 2018, we cannot go and place our children physically in the lap of Jesus. But we can bring them to the Lord Jesus in other ways. And I want to mention five ways in which we can bring children to Jesus. Firstly, we can bring our children to the Lord by praying for them. We can pray that the Lord will touch their lives, that through the work of his Spirit, they will come to realize that he is the Son of God and the one person who can bring them peace with God. We can pray that they will come to trust him as their Savior, own him as their Lord, enjoy him as their friend, and enjoy him forever. We can also bring our children to the Lord by introducing them to the Bible, which is the Word of God. As we read Bible stories to them and later encourage them to read the scriptures for themselves, we do so in the hope that they will discover more and more about who Jesus is, about his character, about his ways, about his work. We pray that as they listen to his word and or read his word for themselves, they will come to trust him and follow him. I think I may have shared with you before that one day my son said to me that it was our Saturday morning readings from the book of Proverbs that shaped his life. Little pithy sayings from God's word, he felt, shaped his life. So let's bring our children to the word of God. And we can bring our children to the Lord by sharing with them our experience. We can tell them our story about how we came to understand and believe that Christ is the Son of God, our Saviour, and how precious he is to us. We may be a little shy about sharing that with adults, although I hope that's not the case. And even if that's so, let us share that word with our children. I love to hear people telling the story of the journey that led them to Christ. On one occasion, I was preaching in Gravesend, and I arrived for the morning worship. The pastor at the church at the time was a guy called Simon Bowcutt, and Simon welcomed me as association secretary, as I was at the time. They had kind of like a stage, and I sat with him on the stage. And so he welcomed me, and without any warning, he said, "Tell us, David, how you became a Christian." And there I was, put right on the spot. And of course, preachers should be put on the spot, shouldn't they? And I had the opportunity to share my story. And it's wonderful to share our story with children and with adults. But children, you know, they love to hear our stories. I think one of the most gripping things that I ever saw in a children's meeting, was, it must be 25 years ago. And there was some special remembrance of Dunkirk. And we had a veteran from Dunkirk who was an elder in our church. And he sat and he had before him 42 children. And he told his story of God's deliverance at Dunkirk. And you know, those 42 children, they sat, they didn't move on their seats. He spoke to them 25 minutes, I guess. It was fascinating because they loved his story. Let's share our story. We can also bring our children to the Lord by setting them a Christ-like example. Paul, one of the very first Christian leaders, was able to write to another Christian by the name of Timothy and say, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also in you." From earliest days, Timothy had been surrounded by a Christ-like example. Lois and Eunice would not have been perfect, but nevertheless, they reflected the Lord Jesus in their attitudes and their priorities and their words and their ways. And that was a great example for Timothy to follow. And we can also bring them to the Lord by bringing them among Christian people. You know, sometimes you think, if I brought a child into this church this morning, what would they think? You know, we're all, well, Mark's not so old, but most of us are a bit over 50, aren't we? Could we bring a child into this setting? Janet and I were faced with the same challenge when we went to Tring in 1973. There were just, I think, two children belonging to church-attending parents. And it looked a challenge. But they never felt once unwanted or isolated. Everybody became their uncle and auntie. And they were loved and they were welcomed. And the Lord provided for them and blessed their time in the church. So bring them amongst the Lord's people. The Lord made a special point of saying that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So if we want to bring our children to Jesus, bringing them to a Christian Sunday school and church is a good thing. And so let's use all of these ways to bring our children to Jesus. And when they want to approach him on their own, encourage them. Do not do anything to discourage them. For as Jesus said, for as such is the kingdom of God. And then, so now, the arms of the Lord Jesus are wide open to welcome children. However, I wonder, do we give this ministry the high priority it deserves? Firstly, because the Lord encourages it. Secondly, because we want to see the Lord honoured in every way possible. But thirdly, because a child's need of the Saviour is as desperate as any adult's. As King David of Israel, who wrote many of the Psalms, said, I have been a sinner from birth. And you know, sinners need a saviour. And we see the evidence of that every day. I don't think there are many parents who set out to teach their children to sin. But it's not long before they're disobedient, is it? And other sins become apparent in our children. It's not long before it's evident that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Born in sin. Shapen in iniquity. All need to hear of the Saviour. Children and adults alike. And fourthly, when we realise that in our world, 25 million children under the age of 20 die every year. We cannot wait until they're older to share the gospel with them. And so Jesus says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And then finally this morning, there is another important lesson for us to take on board. Listen again to what Jesus says in verse 17. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. What does Jesus mean? Think again about that scene. In response to the love and invitation of Jesus, parents placed their children into the arms of Jesus. Other little children came toddling, walking, running, and perhaps even jumped into the lap of Jesus. And if we are to receive the kingdom of God like them, then we must respond to God's love in a similar way. And that basically is how everyone, young and old, who is a Christian became a Christian. We responded to the great love the Lord has shown us. The Bible tells us that the Son of God came into the world as a tiny baby, and grew to be a man to fulfill God's plan for us. He came to remove that barrier that cuts us off from God, that we might enjoy his kingdom forever. And that barrier was our sin. And because he loved us, the Son of God accepted the punishment that was due to us for our sin when he died on the cross. Even those who recognized, even those who crucified him recognized he had done nothing deserving of death. But he willingly took that punishment for us to turn aside God's wrath from us. And then on that great Easter morning, our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and he commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and share his word with successive generations, calling them to repent of their sin, to trust him as their saviour, to follow him as their Lord, and to enjoy all the benefits of being a child of God. And those of us who are Christians heard that message and we responded like little children. We heard what Christ had done for us. We recognized what he had done to remove the barrier that separates us from our Heavenly Father. We took him at his word. We trusted him. We came to him in repentance and in faith. It's just as though we ran and jumped into his arms. And this morning, if we've not done so before, let us come and jump into his arms and accept his amazing grace. And what blessings follow? We are forgiven all our sin. All our sin is dealt with, past, present, and future. We have peace with God. We are brought into a new relationship with God. We are recognized as the children of God. We receive eternal life and an eternal inheritance. And day by day, God is with us by his Spirit, teaching us and counseling us, especially through the Bible, strengthening and encouraging us and blessing us in countless ways. And when this life ends, we will enjoy all the blessings of his kingdom forever. My sister, in palliative care, said, "That's all that's important. That's all that's important." Then they brought infants to him, that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." May we respond to our Lord's word. Amen.